Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he saith unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this feast day of St. James the Apostle. There are several Jameses in the New Testament and early church. Today's feast celebrates the life and martyrdom of St. James, brother of St. John the Evangelist. St. James is one of the Boanerges boys, or sons of thunder. St. James was one of the inner circle of Jesus' followers. Amongst the 12 disciples, he, along with St. John and St. Peter, were the disciples that witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration of our Lord, and his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. St. James is not the brother of our Lord, but he was related to Jesus, according to tradition. He is considered to be Jesus' cousin, being a nephew to the Blessed Virgin through his mother. St. James, along with his brother John, were fishermen whom Jesus called to follow him in the opening chapters of the Gospel, according to St. Mark. Thus, related to our Lord, and being one of the earliest called of the apostles, as well as being in a select inner circle, it's understandable St. James believes that he will have an important place in Jesus' kingdom. Before we tread down the path of speaking about how arrogant or vain St. James and his brother are, or perhaps it was their mother who felt entitled, let us acknowledge something about the Boanerges boys and their mom. They had faith in Jesus. They expected Jesus to be someone great. In fact, they believed him to be the Messiah sent to save Israel. They were right about that. Their fault lies in their assumptions about the nature of the Messianic kingdom. But nevertheless, we do see zeal of St. James and his family on behalf of Jesus. Let us recall that the scripture recounts that James and John's mother worshipped Christ when she approached him. Being related to the Blessed Virgin, the mother of James and John may have well known of the miraculous virgin birth of her nephew Jesus. She and her family may have fully expected Jesus to defeat the Romans and set up the Messianic kingdom. We read in St. Luke's account of the Gospel that Saints James and John wished to call down fire from heaven to destroy a Samaritan village that had snubbed Jesus. And certainly these were sons of thunder. In all this, we do see the virtue of faith. Unfortunately, even virtues can be flaws when they are misdirected. The family of St. James will learn the hard way that our Lord's kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, our Lord would not have it that his servants should fight for him, at least not in the way that they imagined war to be waged. Faith, hope, and zeal were all to be found in St. James. Alas, it was the virtue of charity that he was missing. When our Lord responds to Saints James and John's query regarding fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans, he rebukes them. He says, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." When Jesus is asked to allow James and John to sit on his right hand and left, he asks them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Being the energetic sons of thunder that they are, they reply, "We are able." Jesus assures them that they will drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Unfortunately for James and John, our Lord follows this up with, To sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared by my Father. The rest of the disciples are indignant against the two brothers. It's not that the rest of the disciples were full of charity and humility. Rather, their moms simply hadn't advocated for them in the same way that James and John's mom did. By our Lord's reaction to his disciples' indignation, we can ascertain that the rest of the apostles were filled with as much vainglory as James and John. The Lord tells them all, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that their great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Lord gives an insight to his disciples about the true nature of his kingdom. It is not to be a kingdom of this world with armies and palaces. It is a kingdom that Jesus will give his life for. It is a kingdom of servitude and obedience and humility. Incidentally, in the tradition of the Eastern churches, the position of right and left hand of our Lord reserved for the Blessed Virgin, St. John the Baptist. A Jewish peasant woman and a backwoods hermit share in Christ's glorification. Therein do we see the true nature of the cup and baptism of Christ. St. Paul will tell us, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." We share in Christ's death. It's a frightening thought, and it's certainly not what St. James and his brother thought. But we must let St. Paul finish his thought upon baptism. "Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him." Jesus Christ inverts the order that the world had come to expect. His kingdom is not earthly. It is a kingdom inaugurated by his death. He dies to give life. He asks us to die with him in order to live and to be free from sin. Instead of allowing the sons of thunder to rain down death on the Samaritan village, our Lord rebukes them. His life is a ransom. It is a death that purchases life. The cup that our Lord drinks from is the bitter cup drained at the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, at the beginning of his passion, the Lord asks his Father, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In his first epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul tells us about this cup. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" This cup exists for us because our Lord's blood was shed violently for the remission of our sins. Therefore, the expectations of St. James were foiled, because there would be a more marvelous and perfect way for them to be fulfilled. Instead of a temporal kingdom, the kingdom that we inherit is a kingdom of eternal life, a kingdom in which we are made children of God and in which we will reign, but only after we suffer and die. We must always remember our Lord's words, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." St. James did learn his lesson. We see that in the epistle for today, where Herod has St. James killed with the sword. Now, Christian tradition tells us that before his martyrdom, St. James traveled to Iberia, or what we now call Spain. There he preached the gospel, and later his relics were interred in Galicia in northwest Spain. The popular pilgrim path, the Camino de Santiago, or Way of St. James, has been traveled by countless Christians. Is it true that the remains of an apostle were actually buried in northwestern Spain? Would a DNA analysis of the remains in the Santiago de Compostela Archcathedral prove that they belonged to a first century Palestinian man? I believe that is the wrong question. Rather, the story of St. James gives us truth when we look at what it points us to. By telling us that St. James traveled to Spain, the church is teaching us that Christ's disciples, who were cowards at his crucifixion after his resurrection, carried the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. In the first century, Spain was considered to be the literal limit of the known world. After carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, St. James then suffers a bloody martyrdom. He literally dies for Christ, baptized in his own blood, drinking the bitter cup to the dregs. After his death, his ministry does not end, because pilgrims today are inspired to follow in his footsteps. Furthermore, Spanish Christians believe that St. James' patronage was responsible for the defeat of the Muslim Moors that had occupied their land for centuries. We can see in this that after his rebirth by baptism into the kingdom of God, St. James does indeed rule and reign with his Lord and Master. This teaches us that we should all follow the way of St. James. We too will be called to drink from Christ's cup and to be baptized into his death. If you are going through struggles, and if the bitter dregs of the cup are unpleasant in your mouth, if Christ's baptism feels like a burden too great, take heart. At the end of the way of St. James is the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Therein is the kingdom and dominion. And the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Through the prayers of your apostle, St. James, Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.